Hello.
Steve Winwood, hello.
Oh, hello. This is Laura.
Yes. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. And you?
I am perfect today. Thanks so much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You're on the road with Rod Stewart.
I start on around October the 15th and or 16th, I think it is. And I'm looking forward to it very much. You know, Rod and my paths crossed in the very early days of when we were both in our youth, and have crossed probably a couple of times since then. But I'm very much looking forward to it, and it should be good fun.
You know what? Speaking of that, I think that your path has crossed with everybody that I know. In your youth especially, because I was thinking about this, and I have so much of your work in my personal collection. I don't know how you pulled this off, Steve, because you were basically, you worked with your family in a group setting musically when you were like 8 years old, is that correct?
Yes, well, my father was a musician, and then I played in my brother's band when he was about 17, I was about 12.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, I was always expected to, do something in music, I think, and in fact, I think the truth is I can't really do much else. So that's why I'm still doing it now, probably. Yeah, I've been very lucky to play with some fantastically talented people, and in fact, just over the last few years as well, I've been touring with some great people. I just not long ago got off tour with the Allman Brothers, which was wonderful. And then over the past few years, I've done tours with Tom Petty and with Carlos Santana and Eric Clapton, of course. And I've been very lucky, to play with some brilliant people.
And you know, I have to tell you, I was in Chicago last May, and I was supposed to be at an event meeting another artist, but instead I ducked out and ran down to catch your show. I won't name who was slighted, but your show was fantastic. And the thing that I loved about it was that we got a little flavor of everything that you've been involved in, from your past up to your present. Starting out with the Spencer Davis Group, 15, Traffic at 19, Blind Faith at 21. And like you said, you were expected to do this in a musical family. But do you think that you may have missed some of the traditional youth goings-on that other kids were experiencing because of your dedication to music?
Yes, I think I'm sort of picking those up in my 60s now. Skateboarding in a minute.
That is perfect. I love that. What is the comparison now? You've worked with musicians. Like you said, your paths have crossed with so many in rock and roll history. In fact, if you look at the tree of rock and roll history, you have your name there and 30 branches reaching out from who you are musically. You started your solo career in 1977. What do you think the benefits of doing things on your own? You did two albums completely on your own. You played all the instruments. What are the benefits of doing work solo and then doing work in a group setting?
Well, I mean, they are completely different ways of working. I mean, I wouldn't like to say that one is any better than another. Lately, I've been working very much in a band situation, and actually recording as a band, which, although it sounds fairly obvious, a lot of recording isn't actually done like that. And I think that there are lots of different ways to achieve an end, and it's always good to try new and different ways of doing something. As I say, I've been working very much with the band over the last 10 or even 20 years, 15 years or so. But that's not to say that I still think that to work on your own can still be quite a good way of working, because I think you'll find that the end result is quite different from when you work with a band, and you also have to have a different mindset to work with a band. You have to be much more open, whereas if you work on your own, you can work completely to your own ideas. And so that becomes different. And sometimes you like, it's nice to have other people's ideas. Sometimes it's not. So, you know, it's nice to be able to do both.
Of your friends and your colleagues and your family, who do you think has been one of the biggest influences in your life, personally, professionally?
Oh, you, obviously my wife has been a great, wonderful influence. We've been married now for 27 years. And
congratulations.
Thank you. We have four children, and they are also a big influence. But, I mean, I've been influenced by a lot of great musicians, some of whom I've been lucky enough to actually meet. Of course, a great influence of mine in from the very earliest days, in the sort of late 50s, early 60s, was Ray Charles. And mm-hmm. and the reason, one reason why Ray Charles interested me so much was because he had an ability to combine different kinds of music, jazz, rock, soul, R&B, gospel music, and he somehow combined all these, and of course later on country and western too, and so he combined all these different sorts of music, and that's something that since the late 70s when I first formed Traffic, I've always tried to do that, and that's been I've made a conscious effort to combine different forms of music like folk, rock, jazz, ethnic music, Latin rhythms, and so I think that I would say was one of the greatest influences on me in the early days, musical influence.
Well, when you meet an influence like Ray Charles, and you said you were fortunate enough to meet some of your influences, what is the discussion that you have? Are you as nervous meeting Ray Charles as someone that loves you is meeting you?
I don't know about that, but I was certainly nervous meeting Ray Charles. And sometimes they do say, don't meet your heroes, because they don't always turn out exactly as you wish. In fact, the first time I met Ray Charles, he was playing in Spain, and I just happened to be over there in Barcelona, and I went to see him, and I got friendly with some of the guys in his band, and they were saying, yeah, come and meet Ray. He'd love to meet you. So I went backstage and rather sheepishly said, "Hello, I'm a big fan." And then Steve, he said, "Yeah." He said, "Where's my bag? Anybody see my bag?" He sort of walked out, and so I thought, "Well, there you are. That's it." But then, actually, some time after that, I was doing a show, I think, in L.A. And I was doing it with Michael McDonald and Ray Charles. And Ray called Michael and I into his dressing room. And he was just wonderful, very tactile. And he knew all of our music. And he said he takes the music with him on tour. And it was just a joy to have that from one of your heroes.
When you listen to a Ray Charles song, it might take you back personally to a moment or a feeling. And that's what we get when we listen to your music. Like when I hear Ark of a Diver, I think of Lake Michigan, hanging out with my friends, always. When you play those songs or you hear those songs yourself, those songs that you've created for us, where do you go in your mind?
Well, yes, sometimes I go back to when I created them. In fact, one thing I sometimes try and do when I play live now is I actually try and rearrange some of the songs so that I can create, instead of just trying to reproduce something of, say, 30 or even 40 years ago, I think Ark of a Diver was, I think, 35 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. So I sometimes try and rearrange the song to maybe fit better with the musicians I'm playing with or something like that, and it keeps it interesting. And I sometimes find that these old songs for me can sometimes have a new lease of life which keeps me excited about the song. And hopefully also it still has the effect of reminding the listener of some time and place in their life when they first heard the song.
You know, and that's something that I just absolutely love about you, is the fact that you have maintained relevancy. And I don't like to put that label on anybody, but society does. And you have always reinvented yourself in a positive way and continued with a forward motion in your music. And you are of legendary status, and I don't use that very often, that term. But you've seen people come and people go. What is a secret to longevity in this business?
Thank you very much for those kind words. But, you know, I think that, well, for me, I never really stop learning about music. I find it's always fascinating. And when I hear new music, I'm always interested about in what makes that music attractive to people and why am I attracted to it. And I'm sort of more looking at the nuts and bolts of the music very often. Because, you know, they do say sometimes that musicians aren't always music lovers, and that is actually true. Sometimes musicians are looking for something, always looking for something in the music rather than just relaxing and enjoying it. But having said that, I'm always trying to learn something about music, and I'm always, you know, music is such a massive, huge subject, and it covers so many years, generations, and even millennia, that there's always something to learn, I think, from music.
You know, it may sound a little dramatic, but over the years, you have probably saved lives and made people think differently and take different paths. I mean, you've been such a huge influence. I can't imagine what we would be like without you in our lives musically. But is there a point where you thought that this is just too much? I just want some solace. I'm giving this all up. I want to be left alone.
Well, you know, I'm at the age now when people do actually retire, and I suppose I do take things slightly slower than I did when I was 25. but you know, as I say, I'm still interested in music, and I hope that I keep a youthful interest in music, because as I say, I don't think you're ever too old to learn, and I am still learning about music.
You've won 2 Grammys, and you were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2004 as a member of Traffic. Really, you have too many badges and honors to name individually. But do those markers of success mean as much to you now as you may have once thought they would when you eventually achieve them?
It is very nice to achieve honors and get awards and things. Although, having said that, it's probably true that there are lots of great musicians as well who don't win awards and honors. So I think it's probably best to try and keep it in perspective a little bit.
Yes, and I'm sure that you do that with grace. You've managed somehow to stay out of the spotlight while remaining in the spotlight, if that makes any sense. You seem to be a very private person who doesn't buy into the glitter of fame. How have you escaped all of that?
Well, you know, I started life, started my musical life as a musician, and actually I came into music and into rock music through jazz and through folk music, which is probably a little different to some people, although in fact, as we were just earlier on talking about Rod Stewart, I do happen to know that he came into music as well, rock music, through jazz and through folk music. So we have something there in common. But I think that for me, I was always an instrumentalist as well as a singer, and I was always as keen on being a musician more than being a music star.
Are there any opportunities that you may have passed on that you wish you hadn't, or maybe any major projects that you've been involved in that almost did not happen?
Oh, I think everything that happens almost doesn't happen, and it's just
last-minute
decision that makes it happen. But so, yes, for that one. But, I mean, I don't think I have any regrets for not doing anything. Sometimes the schedule just doesn't allow it, and if it doesn't, if you're doing something else, then you have to just accept that and say, well, that's the way it is, and that's the way it's meant to be, and so something else may come along. One door closes, another door opens, possibly. But, you know, sometimes you have to just take that as it comes.
And what was your favorite time for music as a consumer of music, just someone that appreciates someone else's work? What was your favorite time?
That's a very difficult question, because I think there's been great music. Obviously, my formative years, when I used to listen to blues and R&B of the 60s, and the late 60s, Memphis music, and there was always great stuff. Motown music was always great. And of course, but having said that, I think that all the years, and whilst those eras may be special to me, I think throughout all the years there's something of significance in all the eras. I mean, even today's music, there are some people that say that they think that good music ceased happening in the early 70s or the early 80s or whatever it is. But I don't really subscribe to that. I think that music, there's great music even today. There's probably more music today, so it's probably more difficult to actually find your way through music, or let's say filter what you don't want to listen to. But I think there is great music today, and there's so many different forms of music. There's you know, there are reactions today against this sort of American Idol sort of music, and then because of that you get a reaction against that. And then also there's this EDM music, which I'm quite interested in, because I think there's some of the roots of that music contain a lot of roots of the music that I'm interested in, Brazilian music or African music, and then also there are great singer-songwriters around today. So I think that there's still a wealth of music there to be enjoyed.
Looking at the list of contributions that you've given over the past few years, includes Government Mule, their newest album, Shout, which we just had Warren Haynes in our studio yesterday. It was fantastic. Of course, you've been with Eric Clapton since the beginning, probably way, way, way back. You've contributed to his solo work. Of course, you've played together in bands. But then I look at Miranda Lambert for the record, and I'm wondering if that is your Nashville influence. You do live in Nashville now with your wife and children, correct?
Yes, I do. Well, yes, that's right. Well, I spent some time there, and I spent some time in England, probably more time in England now. But that was Miranda Lambert was I happened to be quite friendly with her engineer and producer, and he happened to mention it to me and played me the track. I really liked it and played on it. So. Yeah, that was certainly part of the Nashville connection there, yes.
So you are on the road with Rod Stewart. That starts very soon, this month. And then you're making a stop in Indianapolis at the Murat Theater October 25th. And I did let some people know, our listeners on Twitter and Facebook, that I would be speaking with you today. And there were two questions that they wanted me to ask you, if you don't mind.
No, not at all.
Okay. One is... First, they all want you to play Low Spark of High-Heeled Boys when you visit on October 25th. And then a few of them want you to explain what that means, Low Spark of High-Heeled Boys.
Well, you know, I'll start with the second question first.
Okay.
If I may.
Sure.
And you know, I think there are many views to that song, and I actually encourage people to make their own mind up about what they think about it. But I think in some respects it's about the poor performance of youth through some of the ages, perhaps. But it is significant that perhaps those two questions you asked is that nobody knows what it's about, but they all request it.
Yes.
So perhaps that's telling us something.
Yes. And I like the fact that you want people to imagine in their own mind what that means. I like going there. I don't like to be pointed to anything. The second question, and I'm gathering these by the most votes of questions because there were just so many, I could not get to all of them. But you were a part of the Electric Ladyland recording back in 1968 with Jimi Hendrix. People want to know what that was like because it's been stated that Jimi Hendrix would walk into a recording studio and just let loose. And then it's been stated that everything was very calculated. What was your experience?
Oh, no, no. Well, you know, Jimi Hendrix, he began his musical career accompanying and backing people, and so he came into music in a very similar way that I did, from playing all different sorts of music before he finally settled on his own inimitable style of music. But because he'd been through, he'd had to play with various different people and accompany different people, he'd learned much more about the nuts and bolts of music. And we actually had that in common, which is possibly a reason why he asked me to work with him. And it was he was a great improviser, but what was fantastic about him is when he played and improvised, he would listen at the same time, and that is a key thing about great improvisers of music. They have the ability to play and to listen to what everyone else is playing at the same time that they are improvising, and he had that ability. But no, it was definitely when I played on Electric Ladyland, there was very little organization. It was very much spontaneous.
And did you know it was going to be as magical as it turned out?
Not really. I don't think you ever know anything's going to be magical until it becomes magical.
Well, Steve Winwood, what are you looking forward to these days? I know you have the tour coming up, but either personally, professionally, what are you really looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to having my tea this afternoon. And then in a few days I'll be coming over to America, which will be nice, and see some friends and get on the road and play some music. As I say, I'm very lucky that I'm still able to do something that I love, and that I'm able to actually make a living out of something that I love doing, which a lot of people aren't able to do that. So I think that's plenty.
I'm so thrilled that I have the opportunity to tell you that my life would not be the same without your musical influence. So thank you very much for all you've given us.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
And we will see you at the Murat Theater October 25th in Indianapolis. My best to you and your family, and much success, sir.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Hope to see you then.
I'll be there. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.